All right, Eagles fans, welcome in. It's another edition of Locked On Eagles. We're starting up another week here on the Locked On Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day, Louis DiBiase joining you as always in studio. Feeling refreshed, ready to go because we are now in the month of July officially. It is July 1st, and now that means we are only a little bit over 3 weeks away from Eagles training camp when they hit the field at NovaCare Complex and we finally get some substance to talk about. We finally get some, you know, training camp battles between positions. Not a lot of crazy ones. Of course, the cornerback position is one. Who's going to be that RB4? Who's going to be the third safety? Who's going to be the fourth defensive end? Could it be now Connor Barwin? That's in the news that he wants to play for the Eagles. So we finally get some real actual football to talk about. And then, I mean, it's just a roller coaster from there. You guys all know. Then we get in August, the preseason. And then from September until January, hopefully February, by the way. Hopefully we'll be talking, you know, we're going to be talking Eagles football. I'm saying hopefully for the February. That's the optimistic thinking that maybe they'll make another run here in 2019. They are certainly equipped for it. On today's edition of the show, I want to get into some stat-based questions for the Eagles because I was looking at the past, I would say, 5 years, the box score history of the Eagles on both offense and defense. So what I'm talking about is 1,000-yard rushers, 1,000-yard receivers. Has there been a trend of who has led the team in touchdowns? From skill position players, what about guys with double-digit sacks? How many Eagles players have actually done that over the past, I would say, from like 2019 up until, from the 2010s, this past decade? And I have some stat-based questions based on that research that I want to pose this year for 2019. Are certain things going to happen when it comes to the stat sheet for the Philadelphia Eagles on both offense and defense? So I have three offensive questions for you guys. I have three defensive questions that I'm going to answer what I think, and then I want you guys to answer back as well. Hit us up on Twitter at LockedOnBirds or at DiBiase, L-O-E. If you're not subscribed to the show already, guys, we do this 4 to 5 days a week once the season really gets rolling. So make sure you get each show downloaded into your phone. You can subscribe on any podcast platform, Apple, Stitcher, Himalaya, Google Play. It doesn't matter. We're available on those platforms. And as always, also, if you're a person that likes to listen on your desktop while you do your work, that's something I really like to do. We're on LockedOnEagles.com as well. And again, what we're going to do today, I have three stat-based questions for you coming up. So we're going to take a quick break right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. When we come back, I got three offensive stat-based questions I want to pose for you, the listener out there, coming up right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast, sponsored today by Blue Chew. Guys, it's time to increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform at all. It's for any guy who wants to enhance their performance, get that extra function in the bedroom. It's prescribed online. It ships straight to your door in a discreet package, so there's no in-person doctor visits. You don't have to go wait in a pharmacy. And best of all, there's none of that really awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. That's right. The awkwardness is even awkward when you're going to the pharmacy or those, you know, nasty in-person doctor visits. Right now, we've got a special deal for our Locked On Eagles listeners. If you visit BlueChew.com, you get your first shipment for free when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping, and you get your first shipment for free. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. They're the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank BlueChew for sponsoring the Locked On Eagles podcast today. All right, everybody, welcome back in Locked On Eagles, July 1st. We are right into the summer now. Hope you guys are all getting ready for your fantasy drafts, getting antsy here. I know I am for training camp because, again, training camp is the sign that football gets to consume our lives for the next 6 months. We apologize to our girlfriends and wives in advance, or they're going to apologize to a lot of you guys because I know my girlfriend is as into the Eagles as I am. I already got her tweeting about Rasul Douglas now. She's in all caps going after the Eagles Twitter account. So she's standing over Rasul Douglas. I've created a monster with that. But, you know, it's a fun time of year here. We're getting football finally up and going. I mean, the offseason's a whole lot of fun when free agency is going and the draft and, you know, the combine even in February. But now, you know, after mini camp is done and over with, we kind of have this month to go where, you know, we get to enjoy our summers. But I know for me, I need football 365 days a year. That is why I love working here for Lockdown, because once again, we're doing podcasts, you know, 4 to 5 days a week. So we hope you guys enjoy it as much as I do recording it. All right. So I got 3 stat-based offensive questions for you in this segment. The first one, will the Eagles have a 1,000-yard rusher this year? They haven't had one since LeSean McCoy in 2014. McCoy, all-time leading rusher in Eagles history. He was, every single year, just his stats were incredibly, incredibly loaded. You know, before that, Westbrook for sure, but the Eagles kind of do have a history in the 2000s at least. I mean, it makes sense with Andy Reid and Doug Peterson, Doug coming from the Andy Reid coaching tree, that they haven't had a rusher with over 1,000 yards because, you know, even Reid, Westbrook put up big-time stats all the time, but they were running through Karell Buckhalter as well, Deuce Staley. Before that, you know, Ricky Waters was a big-time performer in the 3 years with Philadelphia, but overall, the Eagles have used quite a lot of running backs. So they haven't had one, a 1,000-yard rusher, in now 5 years. McCoy, again, 2014. It was DeMarco Murray leading the way in 2015. Barely, I don't think he'd even touched 700 yards. In 2016, it was Ryan Matthews, in and out of the lineup all the time. 2017, running back by committee. It was a high-quality committee, though, at the end of the season with Ajayi and Blunt and Clement. And then last year, of course, the Eagles were just barren at the running back position after Ajayi got hurt, after Sproles got hurt, Clement got hurt. They were down to Josh Adams and Wendell Smallwood. Then Sproles comes back. But for the most part, the Eagles have used a running back by committee approach since McCoy has been gone. I think that might be, we've gone back and forth with this. There are benefits and there are negatives to a committee approach and also a workhorse approach. I think, though, that the Eagles are way, I think a lot of people said that that's just the Eagles' way, and no matter what, they're always going to be running back by committee. Then they drafted Miles Sanders in the second round. They were interested in a lot of high-end running backs in the past few drafts. So for me, I'm starting to think, well, maybe it was just more based on necessity that they, you know, of course, you do want to keep your guys fresh. It's always going to be a little bit of a committee approach, right? It's never going to be just one guy getting every single carry in a game. The Eagles are not going to be like the Cowboys where Ezekiel Elliott's going to get literally every single touch in the backfield. But I do think it's going to slowly here this year. I don't think it's going to happen this year where there's a 1,000-yard rusher with Jordan Howard and Clement also sharing the workload with second-round pick Miles Sanders. So I'm going to say no for this year. But I think because Miles Sanders will eventually emerge as that do-it-all three-down running back, 2020, I think, is when you'll see the first 1,000-yard rusher since LeSean McCoy in 2014. And I think you guys have heard me on the podcast say, I think Sanders is going to take over this year at some point. I don't know if it's going to be the first after the first month of the season, the second half of the year. Eventually, you don't draft a running back in the second round to just be part of a three-headed monster. At least I don't think so. And they've also mentioned time and time again that they think Sanders is a guy that can do it all and he can play on every down. You don't say that, you know, not only saying that, but the actions speak as loud as the words based on the amount of value they put into Miles Sanders. I mean, there was a lot of good players available at other positions for the Eagles. At every other position, I mean, the safeties that were still available, all the wide receivers, they were able to get J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, after they got Sanders, and D.K. Metcalf was still on the board. So there was a ton of guys to be had on both sides of the ball. So they really do believe in Miles Sanders. I just think with this year still having Jordan Howard there trading for him, I think we're still going to be another year away from maybe seeing another 1,000-yard rusher with the Eagles. Another question here that's stat-based for the Eagles offense. Will the Eagles have a 1,000-yard wide receiver? And again, so we're actually going to do this. We're going to get more into stats down the road in the summer before the regular season starts, me, Gino, and Lars are going to do a podcast where we predict the stat lines of the entire offense and defense. So we'll get into more of the specifics on that show. Today, I just want to get into the questions themselves, give you a broad answer, and then we'll get deeper into it based on the exact numbers later on in the summer. Will the Eagles have a 1,000-yard wide receiver? Hasn't been one in 5 years since Jeremy Maclin in 2014. I think that stays the same. They're going to run more because they're going to be winning. They're going to be leading more in games. They're not going to have to come from behind as much. I don't think they're going to start off as slow in the first quarter as they did last year. I think, of course, DeSean Jackson is going to be a huge part of that. All these weapons now and the ability to get the run game going. And I don't think the offensive line is going to start off as slow as it did last year. I mean, the offensive line started off really slow the first half of the season last year. You got even more weapons now, right? You had already Alshon, Ertz, Aguilar, Goddard, right? Now you bring in DeSean Jackson. You bring in two legitimate threats at running back in Jordan Howard and Miles Sanders. It's already an offense that likes to spread the football around. I know Zach Ertz had a historic amount of targets last year, but still, there was the stats were pretty even between, you know, Jeffrey, Ertz, Aguilar. I think it's going to be even more balanced this year. So if there was a guy to get 1,000 yards, I would say it's probably either Ertz or Jeffrey this year. I could see DeSean Jackson doing it because I think him and Wentz are going to click immediately. I think their chemistry already is really gelling. But yeah, I think there's even more weapons this year. They're going to be winning more. They're going to be able to run more. I think with that being said, there's not going to be a 1,000-yard receiver or running back in the offense. And honestly, that's not a bad thing, though. It's a testament of just how talented this Eagles offense is going to be in 2019. Who leads the team in touchdowns? That's the final question of this segment. Who leads the team in touchdowns? Last year, it was Zach Ertz with 8. Alshon Jeffrey in 2017 had 9. Ryan Matthews in 2016 had 9. It was Jordan Matthews in 2015 with 8. The last time they've had a double-digit touchdown guy on offense was Jeremy Maclin in 2014. Again, Macklin's 2014 season was just incredible. He had 10 on the year. Who leads the team in touchdowns? Do they have 10-plus? I don't think anybody gets to 10-plus. I think it's going to be Alshon Jeffrey, though. Alshon, in a limited amount of games last year, also suffered from Carson Wentz getting injured. There was that middle of the season where him and Aguilar really struggled to have Wentz get them the football. Even regardless of that, Alshon found the end zone quite a lot. 6 touchdowns is a pretty good number for him, considering he missed the first 3 weeks of the season, and Wentz was really, really injured in the middle of the season. I think Alshon comes back here in, like, 2017. He gets his scoring title back. He takes it from Zach Ertz. I don't think it's going to be 10-plus. I could see it being 10, but again, there's so many weapons that it's going to be pretty even. Guys that honestly are sleepers for this, I think Dallas Goedert. I mean, the dude, in a limited role last year, had 4 touchdowns. He had a 5th one in the playoffs against the Chicago Bears. So I think Goddard, you know, I think Arthego Whiteside's going to score a good amount in the red zone this year. I think the running backs, I have no clue. I mean, Jordan Howard's got the frame. He's got the physique. He's got the build to score a bunch of touchdowns this year, especially in the red zone. But honestly, he's never been a guy. He's never been like the power back that his body kind of shows that he is. He has been a more balanced running back than people give him credit for. So, I don't know. I think Sanders is going to get in the end zone a good amount too, but if I had to go right now with the most secure guy, it would be between Alshon and Ertz again, and I think it's going to be Alshon. I think DeSean Jackson's going to have the biggest boom touchdowns, right? You're going to see a bunch of 50, 60-yard touchdowns, but with DeSean, I think it's more going to be around that 4 or 5 kind of range. I think that's because, you know, it's easier for a guy like Alshon, who not only can make plays down the field, but then when you're in the red zone, I don't want to discredit DeSean Jackson's ability outside of the deep game. I think he is incredible with leverage. His route running is super underrated. Underneath stuff, I think he's going to really thrive in Peterson's offense this year, but I think it's a better bet that a big guy like Alshon Jeffrey, who also makes his money in the red zone, is a better bet to score more touchdowns than a guy like DeSean or even Aguilar, although Aguilar 2 years ago had 8 touchdowns himself. So I wouldn't be surprised if Nelly gets more opportunities in the red zone this year. Last year, that was very lacking for him. They did not give him as many opportunities down there when it got close like they did in 2017. So it's going to be, I think it's going to be really close. Once again, 1,000 yard receivers, touchdowns. It's going to be very, very balanced. Right now, if I had to go with one, I think Alshon Jeffrey this year is really going to take advantage. He ended with the drop, but for the most part, I mean, that dude has not had a game under 60 yards receiving-wise with the Eagles in the playoffs. He ended the same way that he really has the past 2 years, and that's on a high note, of course, not the drop, of course, but that Bears game, that Saints game, he was balling out, and I think he's going to carry that into 2019. All right, we got three more defensive questions now for you that are stat-based coming up, so don't go anywhere. We'll wrap up the show next on the defensive side of the ball right here on Locked On Eagles. All right, everybody, welcome back. Louis DiBiase wrapping up the show here. We got stat-based questions for you today on the podcast. I did three offensive ones. Will the Eagles have a 1,000-yard rusher? I said no. Will the Eagles have a 1,000-yard receiver? I said no. Just more weapons. They're going to run more this year. They're going to be winning more early in games. Who leads the team in touchdowns? I went with Alshon Jeffrey. Not sure if it's going to be 10-plus, though. The Eagles, it's crazy, man. The Eagles have not had a running back or receiver have 10-plus touchdowns since 2014, 5 years ago. I mean, that's pretty incredible. But once again, it's not a negative, though. It doesn't shine a bad light on this offense in any way. Let's move on to the defensive side now here, wrapping up. Three defensive stat-based questions. The first one, how many players will have double-digit sacks? Fletcher Cox did last year. He was the only one with 10.5. He finally got to that 10 mark. Michael Bennett was close, though. He had 9. Before that, though, once again, that 2014 was the last year that there was a lot of crazy individual stats. Connor Barwin had 14.5 in 2014. Jason Babin, remember, had 18, and Trent Cole had 11. Both of those guys combined for 29 sacks in 2011, that dream team year that was nothing short of a nightmare. But that's it. I mean, Cox with 10.5 last year, Barwin with 14.5 in 2014, and then it was Babin and Cole with 18 and 11 in 2011. So even on the defensive side of the ball, it's been very balanced. This year, I think Brandon Graham finally gets it. He's healthy. Last year, he's definitely started off slow at the start of the season, coming back from that foot injury. Everybody was playing injured, it seemed, on that 2017 Super Bowl run. I think Brandon Graham, now that he's got a contract, he knows his future is in Philly for the rest of his career, pretty much under contract now for another 3 seasons, and he's in his 30s already. I say Brandon Graham finally gets there. So close 2 years ago. So close. Fletcher Cox, I also say, gets there. I think Cox is going to benefit so much from having Malik Jackson next to him and also Tim Jernigan rotating through, a healthy Tim Jernigan. I say Graham and Cox get there. I wouldn't be surprised if Derek Barnett gets close either. You guys know I'm a big fan of Derek Barnett. He was on the verge of a breakout year last year. He was having a breakout year the first 6 weeks of the year before that damn injury held him out. Derek Barnett's going to be another guy that I would not be surprised if he's close behind. Malik Jackson, too. I think a bounce-back year is coming from Malik Jackson. I think it's going to be the perfect situation for him in Jim Schwartz's reactionary, just go-get-the-quarterback kind of style up front where they don't blitz a lot. It's just, hey, defensive lineman, 4-man rush, go win your battle. That's what Malik Jackson can do. He's still one of the best interior pass rushers in the NFL. But if I had to say right now, I'll give two guys 10-plus sacks. It's Brandon Graham and it's Fletcher Cox. Who leads the Eagles in interceptions? That is my second question here on the defensive side of the ball. Last year, it was my guy Rasul Douglas with 3. Patrick Robinson had 4 in 2017. A crazy one. In 2016, Jordan Hicks, I don't know if you guys remember, had 5. Hicks was on a historic pace when it comes to turnovers per year. He was absolutely electric. This year, Rasul Douglas has the best playmaking ability of anybody in the secondary. His ability to read and react as the passing play breaks down, you know, being in the right lane on zone coverage, his hitting ability, first off, I think is going to be able to cause fumbles. But for interceptions, though, the guy had 15 in his last 2 years at West Virginia. in a limited amount of playing time in 2017 and 2018, combined, still didn't play an entire season. The dude has had 5 interceptions, and it could have been easily 7. It easily could have been even 9 if he finishes a few more plays. It would be Rasul Douglas if he was a starter, but again, you guys know I don't have any confidence that he's going to have a shot to fairly win a job this year. So my prediction for it is going to be Avante Maddox. I think Darby is an interesting candidate here, but Avante Maddox, you could see it. That incredible interception going to the ground against the Rams last year in Week 15. There was that one he nearly got down against Chicago in the playoffs. He got both feet down. It did not end up converting. The ref overturned it. But Avante Maddox has that playmaking ability too, that nose for the football, that explosive athleticism and burst down the field in coverage. I think Avante Maddox is the guy that's going to lead the Eagles in interceptions this year. Also, too, because he's the biggest lock to be on the field pretty much the entire season, whether it's at safety or in the slot or even on the outside if there's injuries that happen. I think right now with Darby coming back from this torn ACL, Jalen Mills, the future with him and his foot injury, not even sure if he's going to win a starting job back. I think Sidney Jones, he's got to learn to turn around, right? I mean, I think that specifically that play against Amari Cooper where he knocked the ball down, but he just never turned around. I think Sidney Jones also has that playmaking ability, but I don't know. I think with Avante, you definitely saw it more last year already developed, where I think Sidney Jones, you know, throughout the season, I think he'll get some interceptions if he is a starter, because he's going to be around the ball, and I think he's going to have a really good year, a third year, if they give him the chance. But I think the safest bet right now, because he's going to be on the field the most, and he's also showed the ability already, is Avante Maddox. Last question here, wrapping up the show. Who leads the team in overall turnovers? Avante was somebody I considered. I think Nigel Bradham is somebody I considered. I think the safest and the bet that has been proven over time in his career with the Eagles, though, to lead this category is Malcolm Jenkins. I mean, Malcolm Jenkins, again, like Avante Maddox, he's going to do it all. He has had a bunch of interceptions with the Eagles throughout his 5-year career here. He's taken a bunch to the house, but it's not only that, he plays in the box a lot. He's your second linebacker a majority of the time next to Nigel Bradham. So he's a guy that's very heavily involved against the run. That's going to help opportunities for forced fumbles. He is a great hitter. Brandon Cooks knows that the best. I think Malcolm Jenkins leads the team in overall turnovers in 2019. Last one here, a miscellaneous question. Do you think the Eagles get a return touchdown this year? They did not have one last year. I say yes. I think in a certain situation, because even if he's not the full-time punt returner, Doug Peterson even said they're going to pick and choose DeSean Jackson's spots here as a punt returner. I think D-Jax puts one to the house in a vintage style. The first time he would have done that, by the way, since the miracle in the New Meadowlands in 2010. So that'd be pretty cool. The nostalgic guy in me would probably shed a tear when that happens. All right, everybody, that's going to do it for today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Thank you for joining me on today's edition of the show. If you missed any of our past podcasts over the last few weeks, do check them out on our podcast feed or at lockedoneagles.com. Keep the conversation going on Twitter. I'm always on the interwebs at LockedOnBirds and at DiBiase. L-O-E. My buddy Gino, my co-host in crime, he is off this week. He is in South Carolina enjoying his vacation with the missus. So he'll be back next week to preview training camp with me and you guys tuning in. As always, thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. And let's go, Birds, baby.